Territory Podcast. For this episode, we invited Jatin Purohit to the show to talk to us about Oracle Cloud VMware solution and some of the recently announced enhancements. Welcome to the show, Jatin.
Hello, Duncan. Thanks for having me on your show. It is really exciting to be here because I have been a frequent listener to your podcast. Not only the podcast, I mean, I have gone through with some of your books during my VCP preparation days. So it's really exciting to be here.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Hey, it's the first time you're joining us, so it's probably good you give a brief introduction in terms of what you do at VMware, at Broadcom these days, of course. And then maybe you can also talk a bit about what you did before you joined VMware/Broadcom.
Sure. So my name is Jatin Purohit. I'm Senior Technical Marketing Architect at VMware, which is now part of Broadcom. I'm part of the VCF division, which is a new division carved out after the acquisition. In this current role, I look after Oracle Cloud VMware solution, and we will certainly discuss about OCVS in detail. But prior to this role at VMware, I was part of vSphere technical marketing team. I was looking after the core vSphere features such as Lifecycle Manager, ESXi system stack, the vCenter server, pretty much everything that deals with the core vSphere, and also Power CLI. It's been 3 years I have been part of VMware, and prior to that, I started my career as a system administrator, pretty much started my career with the vSphere 5.1, and I think I remember I did work on VMware vCenter 4.1 as well, if I'm not wrong. But yeah, that's when I started my career. I started my career in the operations space. I was mainly a system administrator looking into some of the daily business as usual tickets, managing the Active Directory, managing the VMware environment. And then after working as a system administrator, I moved into the engineering space where I have got myself involved into some of the system design, especially the VMware design and architectures. And that's where I have gained more experience on some of the VMware technologies. Once I have done the engineering, I joined VMware, and now I'm working as a technical marketing specialist for VMware.
Yeah, that seems to be a popular career track for a lot of tech marketing folks. They started out as a customer or as a partner, and you know, they went through all of the different phases in terms of design, implementation, and then they end up being part of tech marketing, which is awesome. Now, you've already alluded to it, OCVS, Oracle Cloud VMware Solution. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And in episode 23, we actually had Richard Garstegen on the show introducing OCVS to us. But it's probably good to go over some of those basics again, because maybe not all listeners have listened to that episode. So, okay, introduce us to OCVS, what it is, and why it stands out.
So not many people know, and I always joke about it, that Oracle is more than a database company. They do run a public cloud infrastructure, which is Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. If you look at a typical VMware environment, we have all been experiencing this VMware environment and deploying the VMware environment on the on-premises data center. In the on-premises data center, it is you who manages the data center, be it the compute, network, or storage. It is you who basically rack and stack all the data center resources, probably in your own data center or probably a co-located data center. And then on top of it, you basically deploy the VMware stack. In Oracle Cloud VMware solution, we allow you to build and deploy VMware SDDC stack in the Oracle Cloud infrastructure. It is now OCI that empowers the compute, network, and storage resources. You might be asking why we want to do this particular thing, why we want to host VMware SDDC stack into the public cloud infrastructure. My answer is simple. On-premises infrastructure was great because it gave you the control, it gave you the close proximity with your user base. But then when you wanted to scale the resources, or when you wanted to have agile operation across your application or infrastructure stack, it became difficult in the on-premises environment. So just to give you a perspective, if you have to rack and install probably a 3-node cluster, you will have to go through with the procurement cycle. You will procure the server, you will rack stack, and then build your VMware STDC stack in the cloud. In Oracle Cloud VMware solution, because it's a public cloud infrastructure service, you don't have to go through with the procurement, the hardware lifecycle aspect of it, the data center operations and aspect of DC ops. You basically provision VMware STDC stack on the go. And probably to build a 3-node cluster, it just takes 1 hour, 30 minutes, and you have a fully managed VMware solution up and running in the Oracle Cloud infrastructure. The VMware STDC include VMware vSphere, VMware vSAN for your storage, VMware NSX for your networking, and VMware HCX for the workload migration.
So when I listen to it, and we've done a couple of episodes on cloud solutions already, we spoke about VMware Cloud and AWS, and of course we mentioned, or we already had the discussion with Richard, and then of course there's also GCP, and on top of that there's also Azure VMware solution. Now, I'm wondering how Oracle actually differentiates between those, because to me a lot of those offerings sound very similar, but it seems that Oracle is slightly different in terms of how they're doing things.
Yeah, so I would answer this question in two phases. The first phase is obviously sharing the differences between the VMware services across the different cloud provider, and then sharing some of the highlights on the OCI as the platform to host the VMware service. So let's go with the first, which is the VMware service differentiation. I think the first and very important differentiation is the control. When we say control, it means that how you operate the VMware environment. In other cloud services such as VMC on AWS or GCV or AVS, it is either partner managed or it is VMware managed. So for example, VMC on AWS is a VMware managed, which means that it is VMware who is responsible for all the lifecycle management of your VMC on AWS STDC. In case of AVS or GCVE, it is Microsoft or Google, which manages the lifecycle of your VMware appliances and STDC. In case of Oracle Cloud VMware solution, it is the customer managed environment. We give you the complete root control of all of your VMware STDC appliances, including the ESXi host. And this is the only solution that gives you the root access all of your appliances in the public cloud infrastructure. The question is why we would like to have this kind of operating model. The answer is simple. We want to give customers the flexibility and choice of running their environment the way they want. When we talk about, you know, moving the VMware environment into the public cloud infrastructure, the common theme that come across to our mind is retaining the same VMware tools and skill set, retaining the same operational practices, and probably retaining the same application architecture. Yes, you can retain some of these bits in the other cloud provider, the VMware service provided by other cloud providers. But when we talk about OCVS, you can literally retain 100% of all of these aspects, whether it is skill, tool, application architecture, or even the VMware versioning. Let me give you the example. When you have the root credential of your ESXi host, you can pretty much plug and play any third-party vendor that you might be working in past. For example, for data recovery, you might be working with Veeam, Zerto, or any other product that you are comfortable working with in your on-premises environment. You can pretty much do the same in the Oracle Cloud VMware solution as well. The another aspect is the VMware versioning. Not all the customer wants to upgrade their VMware versions the day they release in the market. So because when you upgrade the VMware version, you have to go with the certification and compliance if it is required and if it is mandated by your organization. So let's say if your organization baseline says that you are supposed to run on 7 update 3 and you have an option to upgrade, let's say 8 update 1 or update 2, you are not mandated to run on those particular infrastructure version. You can pretty much choose and control which VMware version you want to run with. So that's the control aspect of working with Oracle Cloud VMware solution. The another aspect is the Oracle Cloud infrastructure. So VMware workload run on the Oracle Cloud infrastructure, which is the public cloud infrastructure. And fundamentally, this public cloud infrastructure is different compared to the other public cloud infrastructure. So to begin with, you have access to all the 46 OCI region. So OCI is available across all the all the 46 region globally. And because OCVS service is a native tenant within OCI, you have the OCVS service available across all these 46 OCI region as well. And that is probably not the case with other hyperscaler solution, because those hyperscaler solution creates a subordinated environment just to run the VMware infrastructure. In case of OCVS, OCVS runs natively within the OCI infrastructure. The second aspect is, let's say if you are a customer who is very sensitive to the data locality, which means that you want to retain your data in your own premises, you can literally consume the service from Oracle, which is clouded customer, which means that OCI will come to your place, build the OCI infrastructure, provide all the services which OCI has, and then deliver the OCVS service on top of it. So the point that I'm trying to say is, when it comes to the deployment, you have a global reach, you have clouded customer service, which basically deploys the OCI into your on-premises environment, and then allowing you to run the Oracle Cloud VMware solution. So when it comes to the deployment, when it comes to operating the environment, it gives you the breadth and reach to basically operate the way you want. And the third aspect is obviously the performance. And if you remember, I talked about how VMware runs natively in OCI. Let me quickly give you an example from the VMware point of view. When we think of the VMware networking pretty much deals with the L2 layer 2 virtualization. So just to give you an example, if you create a DV switch, and if you create a port group, and when you assign a virtual machine to that particular port group, what happens is the DV port group basically generates the virtual MAC addresses and then assign those virtual MAC addresses to the virtual machine. That's basically the layer 2 virtualization. When we think about things like VLAN, right, having the ability to create and combine a set of port groups into a single VLAN and then having multiple VLAN on the same switch, that's basically VLAN, and that's again is a layer 2 virtualization. So when you look at the other cloud provider, most of the cloud provider, and I would say all of the cloud provider, are heavily relied on the layer 3 virtualization, which basically deals with the overlay network and also deals with the subnets. But when it comes to the OCI has the layer 3 virtualization, but then it also has ability to deliver the layer 2 virtualization service. So now if you have a scenario where you have the on-premises environment, which has probably a VLAN aware application running on the on-premises environment, and then you have the public cloud infrastructure, and if you want to do HA for these kind of application which are VLAN aware, you can do this with the OCI and not with the other hyperscaler. So the bottom line that I'm trying to say is the way VMware runs natively into OCI because of how it is architected behind the scene. So it does provide you the layer 2 virtualization and then couples layer 2 virtualization with the layer 3 virtualization for the easy management. And with that, you basically run the VMware service the way you run in the on-premises environment. So I think that's very fundamental difference how VMware operates on OCI compared to the other hyperscaler solutions.
Yeah, it sounds like a completely different solution indeed. Now, one of the other things also when I was doing some research that stood out to me is the hardware component of it. And I know, it's a cloud and people don't like to talk about hardware, but I think in this particular case, because they're so unique when it comes to the offering they have, it's probably also good to address that in terms of what they have, how many options they have, and maybe also talk a bit about, some of the options with and without storage, because I think that's also an interesting aspect.
Sure. So when our partners at Oracle, they were designing the VMware service, I think they had two questions in mind. The first is we want to give the same flexibility and deployment option the way they enjoy in the on-premises environment. And the second is the kind of performance that we want to deliver on a public cloud infrastructure should meet and at times should, go beyond what you get on the on-premises environment. So when it comes to the deployment, the customers are not vendor logged in. You have both Intel as well as the AMD options. And again, when you think about the compute shape, you have a diverse set of compute shapes that you can deploy with. So I will categorize these compute shapes in two parts. The first part is the dense IO compute shape, and the second option is the standard compute shape. So let's discuss about the dense IO. The dense I/O compute shape are available with both Intel as well as the AMD compute nodes. The dense I/O compute shape basically comes with the locally attached NVMe storage to create the vSAN cluster out of it. So if you are an OCVS VMware S3DC, and if you are consuming the vSAN nodes, vSAN cluster, then it is basically backed by the dense I/O compute shape. However, let's say if you don't want a storage performance which is given by a locally storage service like vSAN, you can always go for an OCI block volume storage service, which is allowing you to basically create the VMFS storage. And the way you do it is basically provision a VMware cluster backed by the standard compute shape. So a standard compute shape again comes with both Intel and AMD options, but they do not have any locally attached storage. So the way it happens is you provision a new VMware data, VMware cluster, and during the provisioning phase, it basically asks you to create the management data store. And this management data store is basically backed by the OCI block volume storage. So with this block volume storage, you basically plug the iSCSI storage, create the iSCSI LAN, and create the VMFS data store out of it. So the point that I'm trying to say is, whether you have a general purpose workload or a storage rich workload or even a high performance computing workload, you have the options available from dense I/O as well as the standard compute shape. Just to give you a reference, you can actually deploy a compute node which can be as small as 16 OCPU with Intel X9 shape, and you can deploy a highest compute node which is 128 CPU with the AMD compute shape. So having both Intel and AMD compute architecture with variety of storage option gives you the flexibility and also an option to basically mimic your on-premises infrastructure in the public cloud infrastructure. So having more of these varieties certainly helps you to pick and choose the right compute shape that is needed for you to run your mission critical application workloads.
Now, one of the other things that also stood out to me is that from a hardware perspective, you can also mix and match different things. And of course, there was also, I think, a recent announcement around the number of clusters that they can have with the SDDC. So maybe you can elaborate a bit around that.
Yes, this is a new release, which I think happened last week only. It basically tells you that in a single VMware SDDC, you can deploy multiple clusters. Now, coming from an on-premises environment or on-premises background, this sounds not interesting because this is how we have been running the on-premises data centers throughout all these years. But this is interesting because now we are basically doing the feature parity with your on-premises environment into the public cloud infrastructure. So now, traditionally, when we released the Oracle Cloud VMware solution, it basically had a single cluster option. So it means that if you are picking up the AMD compute node, then this particular cluster will only support the AMD compute node. Now with the multi-cluster support, you can basically spin up 6 more additional workload cluster. These workload cluster are basically running workload virtual machines for your environment, and there are no management component installed on it. These workload cluster can be AMD, these workload cluster can be Intel, or these workload cluster can be as simple as a GPU-backed instance. Or you can have a mixed cluster shape. So for example, if you want to do a disaster recovery, just for a test environment, you might not want to have all the Intel or all the AMD-backed dedicated cluster. You can have a mixed cluster with AMD as well as the Intel compute shape. So the point is, if you have a licensing requirement which basically limits you to the specific number of cores that you can consume, you can basically have a dedicated cluster for meeting the licensing requirement as well. If you have a use case where you your applications are asking for more performance, you can have a dedicated performance-centric storage-rich cluster just for the high-performance computing node. Or if you want to have just a testbed environment which supports both Intel and AMD, it might have a GPU instance. You can have a mixed cluster. And all of this you can have in a single VMware SDDC environment, which wasn't the case probably a week before. So having this mixed cluster and also the multi-cluster support basically bridge the gap between your on-premises environment and does the feature parity in the public cloud infrastructure so that you have different deployment options and different computer architectures that you want to consume.
Now, you mentioned GPU, and I think that's also an interesting aspect because that's also something that was, it's relatively new, probably since we spoke with Richard. So what do they do around GPU? What kind of offering do they have?
So the GPU offering is currently in beta phase. So if any of you want to try with our GPU instance, reach out to me or reach out to any VMware Spark, or if you are an Oracle customer, reach out to the Oracle representative. So it's currently a beta program. You can sign up and then we can help you to jumpstart your GPU journey with Oracle Cloud VMware solution. So the thing with NVIDIA GPU is Oracle has a strategic partnership with NVIDIA, and they offer all ranges of GPU instances in the Oracle Cloud infrastructure. And because of that, these instances are also offered for Oracle Cloud VMware solution as well. So to begin with, we are only starting with A10 GPU, which is basically a TensorFlow GPU. It's a compact GPU with 150 watt of power capacity. It has 26 gigabytes of RAM and then 600 gigabyte per second of net memory bandwidth. This is not, when we think about the capacity, it's not like a high-end GPU instance, but it is like a starter instance that you can start with. And the use cases that we think is, because OCVS does support VMware Horizon, you can plug and play these GPU instances to deliver the VDI instances backed by a vGPU profile. So imagine if you have a use case where some of your employees or some of your consumer wants to access the GPU resources in a VDI environment, probably for AutoCAD, probably for image processing or video processing application. You can basically plug these GPU instances with VMware Horizon and deploy the VDI instances and allow a remote access to these GPU instances. So that's one of the use cases. But let's say if you want to do high-end AIML use cases, even though A10 is not capable of pretty much doing the high-end GPU processing. But if you have that kind of use cases, reach out to us and we will enable you to get hands to other GPU instances as well. And the good thing is, irrespective of the GPUs that we are using, the VMware and NVIDIA has this strategic partnership between them. Oracle and NVIDIA has this strategic partnership. So irrespective of which GPU resource you want to hold of, if you have a use case, reach out to us and we can work with you to make these things happen.
It's cool to hear how flexible the solution is, especially when it comes to GPUs, being able to pick different types of GPUs based on the workload that you have. I think that is something that is rather unique. And to be honest, I can't see any other clouds doing that.
Absolutely. I think OCVS was the first one to announce the intent to offer GPU instances in the public cloud infrastructure backed by the VMware SDDC. And then another very interesting thing is we have all heard about the NVIDIA AI Enterprise Suite. With vSphere, we have this partnership with NVIDIA, and with Oracle also, Oracle and NVIDIA has this particular partnership. So if you get hold of this NVIDIA A10 GPU instance, you by default get access to all the AI enterprise suites that is being offered by NVIDIA. So you get all the tools, all the libraries, you get all the plugins that you need to build and deliver the GPU applications in your cloud infrastructure. So when you access the NVIDIA GPUs, you basically gain access to the NVIDIA AI Enterprise Suite as well. So I think all the three companies, NVIDIA, VMware, and Oracle, all the three companies has the partnership and strategic relationship. So I think we can make these things happen if you have newer use cases for the GPU-enabled instances.
When it comes to the private AI solution, a lot of that also, of course, revolves around cloud-native applications. Are they doing anything Yes. specific around cloud-native applications? Not talking about AI in particular, but just, cloud-native applications in general?
Yeah, I think I want to level set some of the context when we talk about the cloud-native application and especially the VMware Tanzu ecosystem. So there are two personas that deals with the cloud-native application. The first one is obviously the operators, and the second persona is the developer. And when you think about the application, you think about the application runtime and then the application continuous delivery and continuous integration. So you basically have two big layers. The first layer is your runtime, and then second layer is basically the continuous delivery and continuous integration. So I will first talk about the container runtime. So that's the Tanzu Kubernetes grid for you. The ability to provision Kubernetes cluster on any infrastructure provider is basically the Kubernetes runtime. So we have this thing called Tanzu Kubernetes Grid, which we call it as TKG. TKG is fully supported with Oracle Cloud VMware solution. So what it means is, even though the OCVS is the vSphere endpoint, you can deploy the Kubernetes cluster on top of the OCVS VMware SDDC. So that's first aspect of it. The second aspect of it is the management of all of your Kubernetes namespaces, Kubernetes instances, containers, and all of these things. So for that, we have something called Mission Control, which we call it as Tanzu Mission Control. And Tanzu Mission Control deals with the lifecycle management, the identity and access, the backup recovery, and also the different aspect of your lifecycle of your Kubernetes application. So all of these things that I have talked about, the Kubernetes runtime and also the mission critical, this has already been announced and this has already been supported on the Oracle Cloud VMware solution. Now the second persona is the application delivery, the continuous integration and continuous delivery. If you think about a developer, wants to basically learn what exactly the objective is, what exactly it is trying to develop. Then it wants to iterate. If there is an existing application, it wants to iterate and make the new features available for their consumers, and then probably push these new developments to the release cycle. Now, when it comes to the operator wants to basically take the deliveries, run the security scan, stage the environment, do the testing, and then pretty much deploy the environment to run these applications. So what I have talked about is basically the application lifecycle from the development to deploy and run is something which is being taken care of by something like Tanzu Application Platform. We have had few customers in OCVS, they wanted to gain access to TAP, which is Tanzu Application Platform. Our teams have worked behind the scene to get that particular validation done. And now those customers are also running the Tanzu Application Platform as well. So the point that I'm trying to say is when we look at the entire ecosystem, whether it is container runtime or application delivery or container management, everything is being taken care of by VMware Tanzu, and all of these portfolios are supported by Oracle Cloud VMware solution as well. So when you have OCVS instance, you can pretty much run that particular instance to basically deploy Kubernetes with the help of TKG. And if you have application lifecycle use cases from development to its build and run, you have TAP, and all of these things are supported by Oracle Cloud VMware solution as well.
One of the things that also stood out to me, and you've already briefly alluded to it, is that they're not just depending on vSAN storage. They also have a block option. And I think they also have a file option. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah. When we discuss Oracle Cloud VMware solution and one of its use case, we always say that you basically enjoy the close proximity with your public cloud services with VMware workloads. And Oracle does provide different public cloud services, and some of these services are from storage, such as Oracle File Storage Service or Oracle Block Volume Service. Oracle File Storage Service is basically an ability to export the NFS file export to any endpoint. It can be Windows, Linux, or in VMware case, it is ESXi. And Oracle Block Volume is basically the ability to export the iSCSI learn to any endpoint. So Oracle does support OCI File Storage Service and OCI Block Volume for the VMware S3C. Let's talk about the OCI Block Volume for the first. It supports the iSCSI protocol. Comes with 32 terabyte of LUN. I mean, you can deploy up to 32 terabyte of LUN and then provision a VMFS data store out of it. Then you have a maximum IOPS that you can gain from a single LUN is 150,000 IOPS, 150,000 IOPS. And then you can basically deploy at least 32 LUNs of 32 terabytes. So if you are a customer who doesn't need a locally attached storage and performance that vSAN provides, you can always look back to OCI block volume and deploy the VMFS data store out of it. The second service is OCI File Storage Service. OCI File Storage Service is backed by NFS v3 protocol. It basically allows you to basically take the NFS export and export these NFS export to the VMware SDDC. You will be amazed, the size of a single export is 8 exabyte. And just to give you the perspective, a single exabyte is 1024 petabyte. So you basically have pretty much unlimited capacity in the public cloud infrastructure and accessed by the VMware SDDC infrastructure. So again, when we talk about the flexibility and options that we want to give to the customer, again, you have an environment that does vSAN, that does VMFS through OCI block volume using iSCSI protocol, and then you have the NFS data store backed by the OCI file storage service. So you have all the three important storage protocols supported on the Oracle Cloud VMware solution and backed by Oracle Cloud infrastructure.
Now, one thing to point out probably is when you talk about an exabyte worth of storage is that if you start consuming an exabyte worth of storage, you will probably also need to pay for an exabyte of storage. So when it comes to the developer services, you may want to set a limit in some shape or form.
Now, the good thing about OCI and the prices, if you compare this to other hyperscaler solution, I think they are much cheaper compared to the other cloud providers. And the second thing is you only pay for what you consume. But yes, I understand if you don't have a good operational sanctity in your environment, cloud environment can literally go off the chart and it can cost you more than anything else. So I think, having a good operational practice while consuming the cloud services is certainly a recommended one. And I echo what you say. So I understand the sentiment.
Now, the other thing that also stood out, well, not from a storage perspective, but it is very related to storage, is the DR services that they have available or the business continuity service that they have available. And I think what's interesting is probably that they work with a lot of different partners, so a lot of third-party vendors. So maybe you could talk us through that as well, what that looks like and what the options are.
Yeah, so the first thing I will talk about is our own solution, which is VMware SRM. It is backed by vSphere replication. So when you do the disaster recovery with the help of SRM, it basically does either vSphere replication-based replication or array-based replication. OCVS does not support array-based replication, and the simple reason is because we don't have the right SRAs to support the array-based replication. It's not yet supported, but yeah, there are conversations behind the scene to basically validate and see if we can, you know, start supporting SRAs as well. But that's for the future conversation. As of now, the vSphere application is supported. And once you have the site pairs for vSphere application and as well as the SRM, you can pretty much do the disaster recovery. Now, the important thing which I would like to highlight and call out over here with respect to SRM is SRM has this different topologies to support the disaster recovery. And these topologies are like one-to-one, which means that you have one protected site and one DR site. You can have many-to-one, which means you have many protected site replicating to the same DR site. And then you have many-to-many, which basically means that a single recovery site can protect multiple protect sites. So all of these topologies are supported by OCVS, and OCVS is the only solution that gives you this kind of flexibility. And the reason is why OCVS is capable of doing it. You remember we talked about control, because we give you the root access to all the appliances. So when you deploy the SRM appliances or replication appliances, you have an ability to give a unique configuration ID when you deploy the replication as well as the SRM management appliance. So once you have the different unique configuration IDs to each and every site pair, it enables you to have a single protected site protecting, single recovery site protecting multiple source site. So that is why OCVS is capable of delivering these kind of topologies as well. So that's about the VMware SRM. The another built-in solution that comes with Oracle Cloud VMware solution is the VMware HCX. By default, it comes with VMware HCX Advance, and then I guess there is another version that you can upgrade to. The upgraded version delivers the Site Recovery Manager capabilities as well. Now, when we talk about the HCX and its disaster recovery capabilities, though it is true that HCX can do the disaster recovery and do the protection and recovery, but it does lack the orchestration capabilities because HCX by default is an application migration tool and not the disaster recovery tool. But the point that I'm trying to say is, let's say if you don't want to invest into VMware SRM and if you are good with HCX and its capability and capabilities and its offering, you can have option either VMware SRM or VMware HCX. Depending on your use case, depending on what kind of operation that you want to deal with when it comes to the disaster recovery. You can basically pick and choose SRM or VMware HCX for the disaster recovery. But just mind that HCX is an application migration platform that delivers, that can deliver the protection and recovery features, but it does lack the orchestration capabilities that SRM has to offer. The another aspect is, let's say if you are a customer who is already working with third-party vendors like Veeam, Zerto, any other backup or recovery provider, you can continue to do so, because as long as that particular provider is supported on the vSphere stack, it is supported on the OCVS stack as well. Because you have the root access, you can pretty much install and download any third-party solution that is compatible with vSphere, and you can run those particular solutions. The another aspect is, some of the backup recovery and disaster recovery solution does require an installation of Vib into the ESXi host. A Vib is basically a virtual installation bundle that you basically install on the ESXi host. Since you have the root access to the ESXi host, it means that you can basically install any plugin or any driver that you want to install on the ESXi host. As long as it is supported on vSphere, it will be supported on the Oracle Cloud VMware solution as well. So having OCVS gives you the flexibility to basically outreach your expertise into other cloud providers or other vendors that you are comfortable working with. And then another aspect is many a time that, customer already invest in some of these licenses or some of these subscription. And if you have already made those investment, you can continue to bring those investment onto the OCVS platform as well. Because we provide you the root access, we give you the complete control of your lifecycle management. It is you who has to make the decision which vendor or which product you want to consume. If it is supported on vSphere, it will be supported on OCVS as well.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of those things that stands out. If you look at the solution itself, they early on made a decision to provide root access, which none of the other clouds, of course, do. And that is something that, where you reap the benefits from. Doesn't matter what we're talking about, whether we're talking about DR or anything else, it seems that is one of those, big decisions that they made that really pays off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, there were occasions where I personally got encountered with some of the queries, like, can I do this on OCVS? I'm like, okay, let me give it a try. I tried it and it worked. The reason is because the operating model is fully controlled by customer. They have root access to everything they want to access. And you can pretty much do anything that you are capable of doing it in the on-premises environment. If you recall our conversation from the networking perspective, yeah, we do NSX, but let's say if customer environment is a traditional on-premises environment, which is backed by all of these, layer 2 virtualization, the MAC addresses, and all of these things, I think those things you can pretty much do in the Oracle Cloud infrastructure and not in the other hyperscaler. So having this kind of control on your networking stack, on your computing stack, gives you a great flexibility of your deployment option and your operating model. So yes, we want our customer to modernize on the cloud environments, but let's say if they want to retain for a time being the way they are operating in the on-premises environment, I think OCVS is a great platform for them to do the cloud migration journey and the cloud adoption journey.
We probably covered most of the things that I wanted to cover, but there are two things left which I probably think I should still ask and we should probably discuss. One of the things is you just mentioned that, all of the different things you can do with OCVS, but one of the things that we haven't mentioned yet is vSAN ESA, the Express Storage Architecture. Is that something that is supported by OCVS at this point in time?
I did not talk about the exact compute specification that comes with OCVS, and it is important in the context of ESA. Each of these instances that I have talked about, they have minimum network interface card with 50 Gbps, and they can basically range to 100 Gbps. I think ESA has a requirement where it requires a minimum of probably 25 or I guess 40 Gbps. Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, it does have that particular requirement to have those network interfaces on the compute instance. The good news is Oracle and the OCVS instances has these minimum network bandwidth that's already comes with the compute shape. As of now, the ESA is not supported, but vSphere 8 is supported, vSphere 8 Update 1 is supported, and the work to support ESA is currently work in progress. There are validations that are currently happening behind the scene. And when I take when I say work in progress, it doesn't mean, you know, writing some new engineering codes or writing some new libraries to support ESA, because it's just the VMware. It's just a few steps of validation to, you know, make the ESA happen. So it is currently work in progress. Probably in a quarter or two, we will hear a good news about vSAN ESA as well. But all the necessary recipes, all the building blocks that are prerequisite for vSAN ESA are already existing in the OCVS compute instances. So it's just a matter of time. We will hear a good news about ESA as well.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's just the certification of some of the components. This yes. is typically what most of the vendors are challenged with. Now, the last question that I've got for you is all about connectivity. And, you know, this could be a question that takes you 2 minutes, but it could also take you 20 minutes. So when we look at the connectivity to the cloud and also the cost associated with it, is there anything different for OCVS specifically in terms of the options that they have? And, you know, how do people actually connect their on-prem environment to OCVS?
Yeah, it's a good question. So to answer this question, I will basically explain how the connectivity happens, and then I will also answer the cost aspect of it. So in OCI, we have a construct which we call it as virtual cloud network. It's basically your own network that you create. And when you create, you have to basically give a large enough CIDR so that you can basically divide this particular large network into a small subnet. So when we think about a service like OCVS, right? So when you have to provision OCVS, you have to have a VCN. This VCN is basically a large enough like /16, which gives you around 32,000 IP addresses. And then when we provision a VMware SDDC, we provision a new subnet, which is the subset of this large subnet, right? So you have /16, which is a large enough CIDR. Then you provision a /21, which is another small subnet out of that particular large CIDR. Anything which happens within VCN is being taken care of by the VCN routing table. The good thing is it's a smart enough to understand the default routes that it wants to have to just to communicate within the VMware. And all of these things are provisioned automatically for you. And that's the layer 3 virtualization that I was referring to in our earlier discussion. But let's say if you want to send the traffic out of this VCN, be it a VCN deployed into the other OCI region, or let's say a network that is sitting in the on-premises environment. What you need to have is a router which is known as DRG, the Dynamic Routing Gateway. This is a router which basically a BGP aware, which understand the routes from the neighboring environment. And then it basically creates the route tables and populate all these route tables to the VCN. Now, how to connect is another part. You have two interfaces. Interfaces is like the mediums in which you connect these two environment. Either you can connect this using OCI Fast Connect, or you can use the IPsec VPN. IPsec VPN is used when you have a small bandwidth requirement. You don't have a scalable requirement to serve your networking requirement. Probably an IPsec VPN may work over there. But let's talk about the OCI Fast Connect. OCI Fast Connect is basically a dedicated link between your on-premises data center and your public cloud infrastructure. Not many people realize that, you know, whenever they deal or they operate in the cloud infrastructure, there is a cost associated with each and everything that goes in and goes out. And that's what we call it as the ingress and egress cost. So the good thing is the ingress with OCI Fast Connect is completely free. But when you talk about the egress, which is a network going out of the OCI, the first 10 terabyte per month is free. And then you have an optimal charge beyond that particular limit. But the good thing about OCI, and this is again a differentiator, OCI does not have a different pricing for different region. It has a same pricing for all the region, for all the services, including clouded customer. So let's say if you are deploying an OCI region into your own environment using clouded customer or a dedicated cloud, you basically pay the same price for all the OCI service that you pay on the retail cloud region. And that is also applicable on the networking charges as well. So when you consume the Oracle Cloud Fast Connect, the first 10 terabyte per month of egress is completely free. And then you have a uniform pricing beyond 10 terabytes. So that's the pricing. So whenever you design any application or any workload into the cloud infrastructure, make sure that you take the ingress and egress network cost into the account. And with OCI, as I've said, the first 10 terabyte is free, and then you have a uniform pricing beyond that particular limit.
Before we let you go, any famous last words or anything you would like to plug?
No, I think if you are a customer who is heavily into the on-premises environment, and if you are looking to modernize your application workload, getting faster to a market when it comes to the application delivery, take a look at the Oracle Cloud VMware solution. It gives you the same feature parity that you enjoy in the on-premises environment into the public cloud infrastructure. And not only that, it basically gives you the close proximity to your public cloud services offered by the OCI. So give it a thought. Do let me know in case you have any question, and we can further chat about it in future as well.
And that's it. We've reached the end of another episode of the Unexplored Territory podcast. If I have to summarize today's episode, then my key takeaway would be that Oracle Cloud VMware solution enables organizations to deploy the VMware SDDC stack in the Oracle Cloud infrastructure while providing flexibility and scalability, and at the same time maintaining full control. Again, thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and rate the podcast wherever possible. If you have any feedback, send us a message on Twitter on @unexploredpod. Last but not least, I would like to thank Jatin for a fantastic episode.